I built it a garage.
You built it?
Yeah. All right. Let you me build do that
it? Over. No, no, we're leaving this in.
Time for the Angler Within podcast with Roy Bilby.
It's about time we finally have the weather we need to make good, solid ice. And the lakes I've been checking that were open a few days ago are ice bank to bank now. And they're just going to get thicker because we're not coming above freezing for quite a while. And we had a couple nights in a row. I mean, I got up two mornings ago. And the thermometer, I have an indoor-outdoor thermometer right on the dresser, and the outside temperature with no wind here was -8 at 6 in the morning. So we're making good, solid ice. We will be able to ice fish. I've been out on the ice three times. Two trips were nothing remarkable. The one good trip, I was out 7 hours. I caught 63 fish out of four different holes. It was really good, and I need to do more of that. My son, who was on our last podcast, is coming out second week of February for a 5-day ice fishing blowout. We're going to hit everything we can, and because he's here for 5 days, we should be able to hit some decent weather across that stretch, and I'll tell you right now, we're going regardless, so we're looking forward to that. How about you? You don't ice fish. You're going to go when he comes out. We've got a date on the calendar. Yep. And we'll see if we can pull that off.
We'll pull it off. We
want to get on those big pike and try that.
Barring any massive thaws, which I don't see any in the future. So I think we're okay.
There's none in the extended forecast.
There are some nice days to go fly fishing, which I will be doing. So two things. One is, which we haven't talked about yet, that I achieved my goal. Roy had me motivated to set a goal, and my goal for 2024 was to catch a 24-inch trout on a fly rod.
Giddy up.
And on the 29th, in Bennington, Vermont, on the
29th of December, skin of his teeth,
on the Wallumsack, got out. It was a nice two-day stretch in the 40s. 40-degree weather. It was nice. Foggy, but, you know, fishable.
And that's why we didn't have good ice.
Yep. And it was wonderful. I was, fifth or sixth cast. I was throwing a squirmy wormy, also known as the San Juan worm, also known as a junk fly. That's considered like lowbrow because they tie. Listen, it looks just like a red worm. And trout love some red worms, man. They love them. So, and it had an indicator, which I use indicators when I'm nymphing. I'm not going to lie. And for all you people out there, well, what's an indicator? It's a fancy way to say bobber. But it's not really a bobber because it is not painted or shaped like a traditional bobber. So it is an indicator. And it sounds more fancy. And keep your opinions to yourself.
Anyway,
spoken like a true fly fisherman. Anyway, caught a gorgeous 24-inch rainbow, golden rainbow. I think I'll use that as the picture for this episode.
Do that.
Yes.
Do that.
And it was amazing. I was so happy to do it. Sean was with me. And shout out to Sean Brilliant.
Yep.
And was amazing. Was a great 2 days. He taught me a lot, man. That guy.
And 2 days left in the year to get that goal accomplished. And I'm assuming at that point you'd all but said, not going to happen.
I hadn't caught a fish on a fly rod since September.
Yeah.
When I lost a personal best with
which
Matt.
Would have done it.
Yeah. Yep. So not a single fish caught, and I've been out too. I've been putting my time in that cold weather. I've been out.
Yeah, talk about redemption.
So that was
well done.
Yeah, thank you. But
kudos to you. That's awesome.
One more thing in regards to ice fishing. I did get to have someone else's bounty from Saratoga Lake.
Yeah.
A little fish fry last night at my Coleman collectors group get together that I have. My buddies. Yep.
Yeah, I got a buddy who fished Saratoga Lake yesterday going out for the walleye.
So I had perch. Fried perch. It was.
They are the best.
Amazing.
Yeah, they are the best.
Flour, salt, pepper, done.
It doesn't have to be complicated. And it's so good. The Monday night fish fries my dad and I have next month.
Now I see why you're doing it. Now I have to come. Yeah. Now I have to come out there and eat with you. Because
next. Yeah.
That was like
I'll
crack.
I'll let you know when we're having perch. He'd probably enjoy meeting you. Because he listened to the podcast we recorded with my son, and I'll tell you what, my father's 90. He's not listened before, but he listened to that episode, and he was grinning ear to ear. He loved it. I think we got a new fan.
Oh, that's good.
But he has no way to listen to a podcast. He doesn't have any devices. He's 90.
So how did he listen? You just play on your phone?
Yeah, we had it playing on my off the car radio on the way back.
Oh, good.
We took him to an appointment in Albany. It's an hour ride back and listened to the whole podcast, and he was just eating it up, loving it. And some of those stories he'd heard, but some of them he hadn't. Of course, my son, to his credit, tells a pretty good story. And just my dad really, really enjoyed listening to our podcast. So yeah, he'd love to meet you. But we've been doing a fish fry every Monday night. It'll be 4 years consecutive next month. I have five different fish that we generally rotate: perch, crappie, bluegill, walleye, and the occasional king salmon from Lake Ontario. I always say we eat like kings every Monday. It's always good. It does not get old, and it keeps me on the water selectively harvesting these fish so that we can always have a best fish fry. So we'll definitely give you an invite. And I do most of the packages I do up in the freezer, I do for two people. And, but it's no problem to go out ice fish and throw together a package for three of us. We'll do that. It's a deal.
So Roy, can't help but notice, speaking of the doldrums of winter, how nasty the weather is outside. And some days it just isn't, it's not worth it to get all bundled up and go out there, which results.
It's miserable, which would be like today.
Which results in the dreaded cabin fever.
Snow coming down sideways, wind doing too much to do anything with. It's just, if you do go out, you know you're going to be miserable. So why put yourself through it? I mean, I can do that in the summer if it's raining or something like that. But when you're talking driving snow and cold and you got to lean into the wind so you don't get blown over, it's too nasty to be out there. And yeah, we've had a lot of those days this winter. So the dreaded cabin fever. So what do you do about that? Now, myself, as I said, I do a lot of small game hunting this time of year, and I do a lot of ice fishing. But I mean, I wouldn't be out there ice fishing today, even if I had a shanty, which I do. I just don't use it because I'm too mobile. I'm always going in search of the fish. But on a day when it's this nasty, I mean, there's still times if you're in a shanty, you got to step out to do different things. You may want to cut some fresh holes. You may want to relocate. And when you've been inside and then step out and expose yourself to that, it is a major ice cold slap in the face. Been there, done that. So, and what about our listeners who don't ice fish, don't small game hunt? Cabin fever can be brutal. So I've got a couple cures for that. And as a matter of fact, I mean, the obvious one is, hey, go through your fishing tackle, get ready for the next season. That's the obvious one. But I mean, it's no secret, I'm a multi-species guy. Not a bi-angler.
Bi-angler.
But a multi-species guy. And I have refined and refined and refined my panfish program with my ultralights to now. I've got it in the sweetest spot it's ever been with those Bass Pro Shops Microlight Elites. They are the deal with that 6-pound braid from Spiderwire, the stealth braid, because it's coated. It's just such a system. You can feel everything. They're 6.5-foot rods. They cast like a dream. They play fish incredibly well. The problem is, see, my panfish program started with 4.5-foot rods. I graduated to 5-footers and thought, well, this is better, but they're still pretty stubby rods. Then I found some 5.5-footers, and I was a lot more pleased with that until I graduated to these 6.5-footers from Bass Pro Shops. The problem is, I always had two other rods dedicated strictly to using for a slip float, which is a system I truly love. And we talked about the versatility of the slip float system. The problem is I never upgraded those rods. They're still stubby little 4.5-foot pistol grip rods with these mini spin cast reels on them that I dedicate strictly for slip float fishing. The spinning rods I use are 6.5-foot now, and they're so magical when I use them. I have discounted the use of those little 4.5-foot casting rods for the slip floats. You're going from a 6.5-foot rod, ultralight, that just feels like a magic wand in your hand, to throwing something on a yardstick is what it feels like. So I wanted to fix that. So part of my cabin fever program was I jumped on the Bass Pro Shops website and I went through all their light action and ultralight action rods to find a couple casting rods. And I went with their Crappie Max series. I bought it. The longest they had was 6-foot, but that's a step up from 4.5. And they're the same action as my Microlight Elites, but now I've got 6-foot really light action casting rods. They've got 9 guides, and I converted those little spin cast reels to those. I'll tell you what, I can't wait to get out there in the spring with those now. It's bad. I'm looking at them every day and picking them up and and swinging them. They are going to be the deal. I should have done that years ago. So when I talk about going through your tackle for the upcoming spring fishing, I mean, we're still here. We're a good two to three months away from that now, especially with the snowstorms we're getting now. So hopefully it's only 2 months, but it can be as much as 3. So not only going through your tackle and resorting and reorganizing and get a lot of the clutter out of your tackle boxes, I'm talking about getting new equipment and getting it tuned up and ready to go first thing in the spring, like I did with those new rods. I mean, I just can't wait to get out there with those. Now my panfish program is going to be 100% where I've always tried to get it. But I also upgraded some of the floats I use for slip floats. I've gone through and redung my jig compartments in those panfish boxes and just gone through with a fine-tooth comb and redone everything. An organized fisherman is an efficient fisherman. You've seen my basement. You've seen how organized it is. I know where everything is, and it makes it real easy to get into that clearinghouse mode where you go through your boxes and get everything reorganized. So,
do you know what is hilarious?
I'm going to find out in a second.
It's funny you mention, you know, obviously the organization of fishing tackle. Obviously, and it's very important, you know. But
I concur.
Myself, I am one of, in a number of areas, I'm one of the most disorganized people I know.
And you can admit it. How about that?
And, oh, yeah. Yeah. But when it comes to things that I like, for instance, you can see behind me, I collect lanterns.
I noticed
they're hanging from the ceiling.
They look awesome.
Thank you. They're all organized in their own cases, and they're in the right. They have a place, all of them, right? My fishing gear. I have a fishing room that's attached to this house. It's when you first walk in. All my fishing rods, well, my fly rods and my bait casters and my 2 spinning reels. They're all hanging from the ceiling, perfectly organized.
Yep.
I have a rolling table and like another rod rack on the floor. That couldn't be more organized out of all the things that I have. My record collection.
I hear a butt coming.
Organized.
Yeah.
But I also have a hoarder's junk room. I have a junk room. The spare bedroom where I could potentially either have a studio where I won't have to sit in my living room to record this. I could have a studio and office. But instead, I have a hoarded up room full of crap.
Everybody's got to have a catch-all space.
You do. But yeah, you know what I mean. I mean, it's not like I have like bags of cat turds in there or something. It's just all my...
Right.
It's just my stuff.
A hoarder.
It's just my stuff. I just have, some stuff I don't want to put outside. You know, do you know how much it kills me to see my my kayak not inside the garage? Because
I can't imagine.
Because it's full of stuff.
Tell me you got it covered. Uh-oh.
You know.
Long silence.
I should cover it.
Yeah.
I should cover it.
We're halfway through the winter here.
It's plastic. Yeah. It's Ramex. I mean, what's going to happen? The bottom gets a little bit sun faded. I don't know. It's covered in snow.
Yeah. Is it flipped over at least?
Of course it's flipped over. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Then. Okay.
And it's on the trailer in the backyard.
Yeah.
Not on the ground. But
no, I used to cover back. I built it a garage.
You build it?
Yeah. All right. Let me build it.
No, we're leaving this in. Build it.
No.
Bill, my buddy Bilby builded a garage.
You're killing me here. I built a garage at our first house location, and that's where I put my bass boat, which I had a John boat on sawhorses off the ground and always stored upside down on the horses. So when it rained and that stuff, it didn't fill the boat up. But in the wintertime, I always covered them with good 4 mil black plastic so that they wouldn't get ice on them that would soak in and then expand and pop the rivets and stuff like that. Always covered them.
Now I'm going to have to go. Now I got to go. I got to go and get. But you know what? I see all of Brent's kayaks are all out there. They're not covered.
Hey, have me come over and build you a garage.
Should we call Brent right now? Hold on. Let's do that. Let's call Brent. Hold on. Yeah. Why not? This is our show.
Yeah. Put him on the line.
No. Let's see here. See if he'll answer.
Then you could say Roy came over and builded me a garage.
He's going to say, why don't you have that expensive kayak covered, is what he's going to say. Let's see if he answers. I hope he answers. He's going to be annoyed. I called him yesterday.
Going to his voicemail.
8:30 in the morning.
Uh-oh.
It's not doing anything. But you're right. I should be covering that thing up. It'll probably echo what you said.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not going to hurt anything, and it'll just preserve everything better. Keep it looking new. I would. Anything I ever kept outside, I covered in the winter, fishing wise. But when I talk about, you know, trying to beat cabin fever and getting into your fishing stuff, I've gone as far as going through individual jigs and sharpening the hook so they're ready to go right out of the box. It's just a time saver when you're on the water, and I've got the time to do it now. And another thing I do. As I go through, I've got two bass boats in the basement on a trailer, so I can do this in the winter. I'll just go down to the basement for a couple afternoons, and I'll go through every compartment in those boats. And if listeners, if you have a boat, you got a bass boat, and you got it inside where you have good access to it in the winter, where you don't have to deal with being outside and wearing a coat and with a blowing snow, if you've got it indoors somewhere, now is the perfect time to go through every compartment and pull out those boxes and that stuff that you've got in there. You be honest with yourself. I have had to do this, and it makes a huge difference in your efficiency on the water. I used to carry every possible thing, so I was never without anything I might need. But all that weight does, if you want to get optimum performance out of your boat hull and your top end speed, you got to stop carrying everything in the kitchen sink. And this is where I say, be honest with yourself, go through those compartments and pull out those boxes and ask yourself, did I use this last year at all? Did I use it the last 2 years? If not, you're just carrying dead weight that is slowing you down and taking up room that you could use for something that you would actually use. If I pared it down to those items I rely on day in and day out, I would have hardly anything in my boat because I know what my go-to items are. But you do have to be prepared for just about anything out there if you want to consistently catch fish. But you don't have to carry everything that you have to where you can't hardly get those compartments closed.
Do you do that ever?
I haven't had them that full, but I carry a lot less stuff now. I'll give myself that.
Here's a question for you.
All right.
When it comes to organization, and I know how much you love to embrace change and new ideas when it comes to things, but
it takes me a while.
Right. There is a certain storage line. They've got new ones out that are like, you know, you've seen them all over the Instagrams and whatnot. And yeah. Some of these new, are they the Plano ones that are a special new system? And they're like,
well, they have
the Edge system, the Plano Edge system.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's good for people who don't have any system of organization whatsoever. But I have a system where everything's marked and labeled, and I can look at the box and I know everything that's in there. But that's a system I've taken years to develop. For people who aren't good at that and open up their front box and it's just a hodgepodge, I think those systems are great. And if I didn't have my own system already going, I'd be all over that because they do it for you. I think they're great. I think it's something that a lot of people would find very useful in upgrading their efficiency. I really, really do.
These, the Plano plastic sew away 3,600 for your soft plastics.
Yeah.
That box was a game changer for me in my kayak fishing storage.
And it was a game changer for a lot of people. That's one of their best sellers. That's why if you buy a Nitro, the back compartments, they have slots in them that fit the 3,600s. A lot of manufacturers do that because they know it's the most popular box out there.
It's perfect. I didn't find it till I was up in the Thousand Islands.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, they've been out for years. They're a great storage box. I have, I don't know if you noticed, in my basement, in the back where I have the gondola shelves that have all my boat service products because I do my own maintenance, there's one right beside that is full. I think last time I counted, I had 32 empty 3,600s ready to go should I need them because I always bought them when they were on sale.
Yep.
I got 36 of them empty, ready to go. In addition to the ones I'm already using, because I mean, I'm in and out of a lot of different boats with those. So there's a lot of wear and tear on them. And eventually one of the latches, the plastic will crack or the boxes get so scuffed up from use. I mean, my stuff gets used and it takes me a long time. I've got one box I'm using that's got one latch that works. The other one's gone. It's cracked and I've put clear packaging tape over it to seal it so it doesn't leak and get wet when it rains. And I got 36 brand new ones, you know, just grab another one, would you? But that's me, always prepared, but want to keep that stuff on hand. Kind of funny, think about it. I can laugh at myself too. It's so important to keep your stuff dry. So those stowaway boxes do a good job of that. But those Plano has the series where they have the rubber seal all the way around it, that prevents stuff from, you know, your hooks and your swivels and all that stuff from getting moisture in it and getting rust on it. Because if whenever I fish in the rain, I come home and I open those boxes and I make sure there's no water in them. If there is, and I've been in downpours where I've had water get inside those boxes, and I've spent 2.5 hours in my basement pulling it, because it's always the box with the marabou jigs or things like that, where one compartment got water in it, and then carrying stuff around, it got transferred into others. And I've been in there with paper towels and a hair dryer and just do everything to get those dry so they're not stored wet. And then, you know, 3 weeks later, I grab it and everything's rusted, because we all have a lot invested in our terminal tackle and our lures. And it's, you got to take care of that stuff. So those boxes from Plano that have the seals on them, the anti-rust boxes, those are a great investment. So for anybody who doesn't have a blow dryer, just saying.
Hmm.
I hate getting stuff wet. I carry plastic bags in one of my other boxes so that if I'm out and it starts raining and I'm not in a bass boat where I got covered compartments, if I'm in like one of my John boats and I do a lot of fishing out of those, and if I get caught in the rain, you've probably seen me do it on your lake where I pull out plastic bags and I start covering boxes just so I don't have to spend all that time with a hairdryer when I get home.
I don't think I've seen you do that, nor have you ever told me. I know I just had a very non-reaction to the hairdryer comment you just said. And do you know anyone else who pulls out a hairdryer and blow dries their tackle after it gets wet? Where did you learn that? Was that your own mad scientist creation?
That was my own mad scientist creation, because I didn't want my stuff to rust. I've seen people open boxes and all you see is orange. I'm like, are you kidding me? You know?
But here's the thing though. Unless those, no, it's not good for your stuff, but unless those lures are like super old,
yeah,
that isn't going to affect how strong that hook is it? No, right?
No.
Is it going to snap?
The rust isn't good for it.
It's not good for it, but I'm asking you legitimately, like, how much does it weaken the lure outside of the optics of how unpleasant it is to the eye?
Number one, it can transfer to other lures and rust can spread like a cancer. And number two, your hook isn't sharp anymore. Got rust all over it. They're going to lose sharpness. They do. Don't shake your head. They do.
Man, yes. I couldn't get over. I opened up my tackle box and I noticed that a bunch of rust had builded up on my hooks.
Yep. Don't let that one rest.
You don't want rust builded on your stuff.
No you don't. I don't.
Listen, I'm sorry. I'm picking on you a lot today.
No, you're not.
I will go easy.
There was no sincerity in that. I'm sorry whatsoever. No sincerity whatsoever.
Oh boy. Well, this has been a very nice cure for my cabin fever today.
Hey, it's good though. If you don't ice fish, if you don't small game hunt, and you're dying to get fishing. Hey, I do watch, I'm reviewing all of last year's Bassmaster Live episodes right now as part of my cabin fever deal. Two reasons. It keeps me focused. Problem is, it makes you want to go out and fish and there's no open water, but it helps keep me focused, energized for the spring fishing. But it's always good to review. reading through Bassmaster magazine, in Fisherman magazine, just staying up on everything as much as I can, checking out different websites, watching fishing videos, just trying to stay in sync with everything so that when spring gets here, I am ready to go.
How many Bassmaster magazines or bass magazines do you have archived in your house?
I don't. I used to, but I was never going back and reading them. So I just recycle them now. Once I read through them, I recycle them. The catch-all room would be so you couldn't even walk into it if I did that. I've been a life member for decades.
Do you have pathways through your catch-all room? Can you use, like, is there like a little, like...
It's more than a pathway, but at times, not much more than that. It's actually where I lay out my gear, too. If I ice fish recently and I need to dry out my suit, it goes in that room. It's got good air circulation. I lay everything in there. And then if I'm going to ice fish within a couple days, I'll just leave it there and pull it back out. If not, I roll it and stow it. I've got like bookshelves that I built inside a closet that hold all my rabbit hunting gear, all my ice fishing gear, all my light duty camo, and then all my winter camo, and then my snow camo. I got 6 shelves, and I've got each one dedicated to... I mean, the farther you go up from the floor, the closer you get to the ceiling, the heavier the insulation gets in those outfits. Everything from spring turkey hunting stuff to absolute cold weather gear from Bass Pro and Cabela's that helps me deal with the elements when I'm sitting in a tree stand 15 feet off the ground when it's 5 degrees outside. Again, goes to my organization. But yeah, you can walk through my catch-all room. It's a catch-all room season by season by season. You can tell what time of the year it is by walking through that room and seeing what's on the floor.
Do you have stuff in there besides hunting and fishing stuff?
It's just hunting and fishing stuff. That's where the bookcases are that house 4 decades of keeping fishing journals.
So is there a catch-all for your regular life, though, too? Like, is there, like, a life catch-all room, like, where you and your wife throw all your junk you're not using?
Nope. Just my hunting. It's my outdoor gear space. I got 4 gun cabinets in there, and that's where all the firearms are stored, all the handguns, all the ammunition locked separately. Except the overflow ammunition is in the basement in Rubbermaid totes.
You should make that room into a panic room and put a sliding bookcase door over the front of it with an alternative, like, escape slide out of your house, out of the floor or something.
Yeah, you could come by and check it out and go, that's really cool. How did that happen? And I can just say, well, I builded it.
You builded it. You should build it a panic room.
Yeah.
I had a friend of mine who lived out in Richmondville. I was actually, where was he? I guess he was Warnerville. Sorry. He was Warnerville. And, he had turned a room into like a panic room with a bookcase door. And then on the other side of the panic room, there was like a hidden staircase that was already part of the house that pops out in a room out of a door that looked like a closet on the lower floor.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's cool.
And then on the door, you'd close the door behind you, and it was a gun rack. When you closed it, it was just an arsenal in front of you of guns. When you closed the door, it was like there it was. It was like a pocket door, and you slide it over, and there was all of his rifles that were all lined up on the thing,
ready to
go. Pretty wild. Pretty wild.
Should you be in a state of panic?
It's funny, you know, because it's like, well, why would you ever need that? Are you running from the mob or something? But he wasn't.
at the time.
But they're cool though. I mean, I would love to have one of those too. I've always thought about it. Every guy wants to have a secret passageway in his house. It's like the greatest thing ever. I think a trap door with a slide is better though.
You ever see the Loopers? The movie Loopers?
No.
Bruce Willis?
Nope.
There was a guy who had he stored everything through a sliding panel in his floor. Yeah, it's a futuristic movie. Never mind.
It's a futuristic movie.
Yeah.
Like sci-fi?
Yeah. Yep.
I'll check it out, though.
Yeah. Loopers. So it's about, they take people, they figured out how to do time travel, and they go back, and they snuff out people who were a problem in the future. So it never happens.
Listen, as we learned from Marty McFly and Doc Brown, you can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't do that.
Well, you just gotta have the right car.
It affects too many things.
You gotta have the right car.
I guess. The DeLorean. Yeah, good stuff.
I knew a guy that had a DeLorean. He was a car collector, but he wasn't into time travel. He was just into cool cars.
Did you ride in it?
No.
Was it done up like the Back to the Future car?
No, it was just a stainless steel DeLorean.
Yeah. Well, good. On that note, stainless steel. Make sure you blow dry those lures.
Yeah. Well, if you're looking for a cure for cabin fever, go through your tackle, go through your boat, watch those fishing videos, get ready for that spring fishing. And always, when you're down there or wherever your tackle is and you're going through it and you're thinking about those warm spring days while it's snowing outside, get your file out, sharpen your hooks, weed out the stuff you're not using, and the whole time you're doing it, tap into your angler within.